From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listeners, welcome back to the English service for Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today we have a lot of information coming from our country and we would like to begin with the news, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news first headlines. President Joko Widodo observed vaccination simulation in Bogor City. European Union's Erasmus program present 1,600 scholarship for Indonesian university students and lecturers. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo monitored the COVID-19 vaccination simulation at the Tanah Serial Community Health Center in Bogor, West Java, on Wednesday morning. After looking at the simulation, he hopes that the COVID-19 vaccine can enter Indonesia at the end of November or December, either in the form of vaccine or vaccine raw materials that will be processed by PT Bio Farma. He also said that all vaccine that will be used must be registered first in the World Health Organization, WHO. However, President Joko Widodo perceived that although the vaccine will have entered Indonesia at the end of November or in December, the government has still to wait for the Emergency Use Authorization EUA issued by the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency BPOM. Further stated that this procedure must be followed for the sake of safety and security of Indonesian people.
Kalau melihat tadi di lapangan dan melihat simulasi tadi, kita memperkirakan kita akan mulai vaksinasi itu di akhir tahun atau di awal tahun.
If we look at the simulation in the field earlier, we estimate that we will start vaccination at the end of 2020 or at the beginning of 2021, because the preparation process is not only receiving the vaccine, but also directly injecting it. The government also has to prepare distribution across Indonesia. This is not easy. Distributing vaccine is not easy. This is not stuff like other goods. It needs anything cold chain chill with a certain degree. Each vaccine from a different product also requires a different distribution model. This is what the government continues to prepare so that the regions will also get vaccine immediately and the vaccine will not be damaged.
Segera mendapatkan vaksin dan vaksinnya juga tidak rusak.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo conveyed the priority stages of vaccination for the people. He also remarked that the first priority of vaccination will be for health workers. But he further said that he is ready to be the first person to get vaccinated if asked by the government's vaccination team.
Yang akan divaksin pertama adalah nanti tenaga kesehatan, baik itu dokter, para dokter.
Those who will be vaccinated first are health workers, doctors, nurses, and also medical personnel, paramedics, and then the Indonesian military TNI personnel and Indonesian police Polri personnel, and it will be given to governmental employees for public services, teachers, and all of us. If anyone asks whether the president is the first or last, if the team asks him to be the first, the president is ready.
Kalau oleh tim diminta saya yang paling depan, ya saya siap.
In addition, President Joko Widodo also encouraged the socialization of COVID-19 vaccination for the people, both government vaccination program and independent vaccination. He added that the vaccination will be carried out in two ways, namely free of charge and paid. The 12th edition of the European Higher Education Fair, EHEF 2020, which becomes the largest European education exhibition in the world, will be held again in Indonesia online from November 21st to 28, 2020. This virtual exhibition will be attended by 140 leading higher education institutions from 12 European Union countries. European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Piquet, in his remarks explained that the European Union has distributed 1,600 scholarships for Indonesian university students and lecturers every year.
Every year, the EU's flagship exchange program, Erasmus, and the grant programs for scholarships by the EU member states award around 1,600 scholarships to Indonesian students and scholars for study and research periods in Europe. 1,600 total per year. That I think is a great, great number. In addition, the EU's program Erasmus enables every year that more than 200 European students and scholars come to Indonesian universities to conduct lectures, trainings, and to undertake short-term credit exchanges and to do research. So we're very happy to see this reciprocity beginning to take shape in a very real sense.
Moreover, Erasmus Plus is a program of European Union in education, training, youth and sport that enables exchange for university students, doctoral candidates and lecturers who are interested in studying, teaching or doing research in Europe. The Erasmus Plus program also opens opportunities for capacity building for higher education. The Erasmus Plus program includes the Erasmus Mundus Joint Master's Degree and International Credit Mobility Scholarship. Funding for universities through the Capacity Building in Higher Education program and Jean Monnet. The Embassy of the Socialist Republic of Vietnam in Jakarta in the Indonesian Vietnam Friendship Association hosted a webinar on seizing trade, investment and tourism opportunities in Vietnam and Indonesia amid the COVID-19 pandemic on Wednesday. The webinar aims to update information on policies of Government of Vietnam and Government of Indonesia in response to the impact of the pandemic for the purpose of economic recovery, as well as economic and tourism cooperation promotion on the basis of mutual benefits. In his opening remarks, Ambassador of Vietnam to Indonesia, Pham Vinh Quang, said that last month, the Government of Indonesia and Vietnam made great efforts in curbing the epidemic and ensuring economic development. He added that the adoption of the Asian Comprehensive Recovery Framework at the 37th Asian Summit in Hanoi, Vietnam, will revive the economy of the two countries in post-COVID-19 pandemic.
Last week, in Hanoi, Vietnam, at the 37th ASEAN Summit, Vietnam, in his term as 2020 ASEAN Chair, together with Indonesia and other ASEAN member states, adopted the ASEAN Comprehensive Recovery Framework and its implementation plan designed to assist people and businesses to overcome the impact of the pandemic, restore economic and social stability in ASEAN countries, promote plans to maintain production and supply chain stability, strengthen connectivity, and restore trade in the region.
The webinar on seizing trade, investment, and tourism opportunities in Vietnam and Indonesia amid the COVID-19 pandemic is a series of activities hosted by the Embassy of Vietnam in Indonesia to further deepen the strategic partnership and to commemorate the 65th anniversary of diplomatic relations of both countries. President Joko Widodo has said that he believes the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry (Kadin) will be able to provide assistance to 2 million independent farmers, or double the number of current beneficiaries by 2023. As quoted by Taranus Agency, the president, while making an online presentation at the Jakarta Food Security Summit 5 on Wednesday, stated that he is waiting for the commitment to assist 2 million independent farmers in 2023. He is sure that Kadin is capable of fulfilling this target. Previously, President Joko Widodo asked Kadin to provide assistance to 1 million independent farmers to increase their productivity and welfare. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The U.S. Transportation Department said on Wednesday that it is denying exemption for two charter flights companies to deliver humanitarian cargo to Cuba, the latest crackdown by the Trump administration. As quoted by Reuters.com, two U.S. companies had applied to deliver cargo flights to ship small or personal parcels containing food, medicine, hygiene, and medical supplies arguing the deliveries were humanitarian in nature. The Transportation Department said the State Department determined the flights did not fall within exemption guidelines and said they would not be in the foreign policy interests of the United States. The administration, effective October 13, suspended the authority of U.S. and foreign carriers to operate Cuban-U.S. charter flights. Two U.S. companies had applied to deliver cargo flights to ship small or personal parcels containing food, medicine, hygiene, and medical supplies, arguing the deliveries were humanitarian in nature. Researchers says a COVID-19 vaccine developed in China has shown success in mid-stage trials. As reported by BBC.com, there are several vaccines being developed in China, some of which are already being administered. According to the researchers, the Sinovac biotech vaccine led to a quick immune response during trials with around 700 people. The announcement comes after European and US vaccine reported successful data from large late-stage trials. Three vaccines developed in the US, Germany, and Russia have all released data suggesting efficiency of more than 90% after trials with tens of thousands of people. New Zealand police have introduced a hijab into their official uniform to encourage more Muslim women to join. As quoted by BBC.com, new recruit Constable Zina Ali will become the first officer to wear the official hijab. The spokesperson said that this aimed to create an inclusive service reflecting the country's diverse community. Other forces, such as the Metropolitan Police in London and Police Scotland, offer the option of a uniform hijab. In the UK, the Metropolitan Police in London approved a uniform hijab in 2006, with Police Scotland following in 2016. In Australia, Mahasukar of Victoria Police wore a hijab in 2004. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Today's commentary talking about the budget absorption always piles up in the year end. The budget absorption in the central government, ministries, and regional governments is still low, although it has been the end of the fiscal year. The piling up budget absorption in the year end often happens. This upsets President Joko Widodo. He was not happy with the not optimally absorbed budget. President Joko Widodo reminded his government to optimize the government spending realization in the remaining time to increase people's consumption and accelerate economic recovery. One way to move the economy is realizing the government spending program. With optimal budget absorption, Indonesia's economy in the third quarter had been positive, namely reaching -3.49% from previously 5.32%. Why do slow absorption and budget pileup often happen in the year end? As stated by President Joko Widodo, the cause is the slow process in goods and services procurement, both from the central and regional governments. This reason might sound unacceptable, because according to the Presidential Regulation No. 95, year 2018, on electronic-based government systems, the government's goods and services spending have been using electronic procurement system. This system aims to accelerate the budget absorption, so the budget should have been optimal and not piling up again in the year end. The sluggish procurement is among many caused by the lack of monitoring. Tight monitoring is necessary both by the government and the people. People can participate in the goods monitoring through the Procurement General Plan Information System, which we call CEROP. This web-based system contains detailed information such as the working unit, activity location, procurement package name, announcement date, budget sources, items, provider selection method, and the working schedule. The openness of government procurement plans through the CEROP can support the creation of a better monitoring system. It is because through CEROP, people can join in monitoring the government procurement programs. They can also see all the procurement projects under planning by each regional government. The people, therefore, are expected to care and participate in monitoring the government procurement program. Without active participation from the people, many central and regional governments will work casually while ignoring the urgency to work quickly with innovation. And listener, that was the commentary.
Listener, our segment today in history starts with the event on November 19th, 1969, when Pele scored the 1,000th goal in his career. Edison Arantes do Nascimento, or well-known Pele, is a world legend football player from Brazil. During his career as a football player, Pele succeeded in bringing Brazil as world football champion three times, namely in 1958 in Switzerland, in 1962 in Chile, and in 1970 in Mexico. Because of his success, Brazil has a ride on Jules Rimet Trophy. Pele has a nickname, O Rei, or the King. Pele, who was born in Três Corracos, Minas Gerais, Brazil, scored his 1,000th goal for Santos. The goal was scored by Pele when facing Vasco da Gama through a penalty kick. Pele's performance along with Santos had made him going around the world in various competitions. One of them was in 1967 when Santos along with Pele performed in Nigeria where there was civil war. Pele's performance made ceasefire for 48 hours so that people could witness Pele's performance in the exhibition match in Lagos, Nigeria. Thus, Pele was retired as Santos player in 1972.
The next event is that in 1977, Anwar Sadat was the first Arab leader who officially visited Israel and met Prime Minister Menachem Begin. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat became the first Arab leader to make an official visit to Israel. On November 19, 1977, he made a visit to Jerusalem on invitation of Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin. That was the beginning of peace negotiation between Israel and Egypt. In 1978, Camp David Agreement was reached, which Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin received Peace Nobel. The last event is that in 2014, Basuki Cahayapurnama was inaugurated as the governor of Jakarta. Basuki Cahayapurnama, or familiarly called Ahok, was officially inaugurated as governor of Jakarta by President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on 19th November 2014. Basuki served as governor of Jakarta until May 9, 2017 because on that date he was convicted of a case of religious blasphemy and was imprisoned for 2 years. He received an award as an anti-corruption figure from the Three Pillars of Partnership Movement, which consists of the Indonesian Transparency Society, Kadin, and the State Ministry of State Apparatus Empowerment. In 2007, Basuki again received an anti-corruption award from the Bung Hatta Anti-Corruption Award, which he received in 2013. He was also chosen to be one of the 10 figures who changed Indonesia, chosen by Tempo Media. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Takkan mudah. bekas, segera memelukmu lagi.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia. Next, we got more information for you in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today. And the youth agreed to protect Papua's forests as the last bastion in facing the climate crisis. A number of young people agreed to protect Papua's forests, which become Indonesia's last stronghold in facing the ongoing climate crisis. This was said by Cendrawasih University student Marcel Gibral Mauri in the webinar Climate Policy of Indonesia and Papua in an Intergeneration Justice Perspective held by Walhi Papua and Access from Jakarta on Saturday. The founder of the Rumah Bakau Jayapura community, Abdul Kamil Nasir, who participated in the discussion in the webinar, agreed with the thoughts of young people, which is in line with the Paris Agreement, that the earth is not in a good condition. So there must be concrete efforts and steps to overcome the climate crisis. Kamil invited young people in Papua, including students, to participate in guarding the government commitment to implement the Paris Agreement. He said that climate change is real, so young people cannot just stand by and wait, because the climate in Indonesia, including in Papua, has changed. He also believes Papua is the last bastion on climate in Indonesia. Meanwhile, one of the writing teams of climate policy studies, who is active as climate ranger, Novita Indri, said that there are similarities in the spirit and perceptions of the youth in the climate strike network in the world. Wanting to ensure that the government commitment to the Paris Agreement runs in facing the climate crisis. Referring to the 2018 Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change IPCC report, Novita Indri said that the climate crisis has been acute, including in Indonesia, but people are not aware of this. Firstly, the threat of the island sinking due to the rising sea levels after the ice at the poles melts, and it is estimated that the increase will reach 0.4 meters per year in 2100. Secondly, the increase in temperature is not only damaging to the ecosystem, but also become an obstacle in fulfilling basic human needs. Hydrometeorological disaster, the impact of rising earth temperatures that trigger the climate crisis, pose a threat to basic human needs. Novita added, Indonesia still has time to improve the condition by setting targets that are in line with the Paris Agreement. Moreover, Indonesia has also guaranteed the rights of future generations for a better life. Novita also reminded that forests in Papua are the last hope for Indonesia because many forests in Sumatra and Kalimantan have shifted to oil palm and mining. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia. Next one, we'll present you some information about our tourism and also our local wisdom while in this pandemic in which you cannot go to visit our countries. So make sure that you will listen the next one. The next one is Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Dukuh Waringin Tourism Village in Kudus, Central Java. Listener, a total of 15 villages in Kudus Regency, Central Java are developed into tourism villages, because they have the potential to bring in tourists and fulfill a number of requirements which are determined by the government. Three of the villages are categorized as developing villages, namely Loram Kulon, Japan, and Dukuh Waringin villages. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of the three developing villages in Kudus, namely Dukuh Waringin village. Dukuh Waringin village can be accessed from the center of Kudus city for about 32 minutes, with a distance of 20 kilometers. This tourism village offers a variety of natural beauty. Visiting the village, you will be invited to enjoy the natural panorama of the Kedung Gender waterfall and the educational place at Lebah village. To enter this tourism village, you are required to pay a parking fee of only 2,000 rupiah. To get to the waterfall, you will pass the shady bamboo trees and many interesting photo spots. The Dukuh Waringin Tourism Awareness Group recently built a Prau Cintrong photo spot, which is a boat place on the rock. At the same location, there is also Sunan Muria's recitation. The trip to the waterfall location takes about 15 minutes. Kedung Gender waterfall has about 20 meters high. Visiting this waterfall is recommended from November to May, to enjoy the heavy water discharge of the waterfall. Dukuh Waringin village is also known as the center of honey production. The village also offers educational tour packages for tourists, which is about 2 kilometers from the location of the waterfall. To enjoy this educational tour, you need to pay 30,000 rupiah per person. The object will provide a delivery car and drink and snack facilities. At Lebah village, you will see the processing and harvesting of honey from breeders. There are 20 breeders in this tourism village who raise Merivera type bees. Most of the honey products are Ceiba Petandra and coffee honey. You will be invited to process honey and enjoy it directly. At the tourism village of Dukuh Waringin, there is also an agritourism pomelo oranges, biar bananas, and avocado. While for those who want to stay overnight, the tourism village is also completed with homestays, so that you can feel comfort during your visit to this tourism village. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you very much for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Dan juga malam, dari malam aku bernafas lalu mengingat semua tentangmu. Saat berdua hatiku pun tergetar, saat kau senyum hatiku pun berdebar. Ternyata bukan milikku. Berulang kali kau titip salam untuknya, ku tak rela untuk menyampaikannya. Tahukah kamu, tahukah dirimu, sadari mencintamu yang cinta pada dia. Berharap kau segera melupakannya, berharap kau tak lagi suka padanya. Tuhan tolong ubah hatinya. Berulang kali kau titip salam untuknya, ku tak rela untuk menyampaikannya. Tahukah kamu, tahukah dirimu, betapa diriku menginginkan dirimu. Pedih hatiku saat ku sadari mencintamu yang cinta pada dia.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
All Alright, more information from Indonesia is still coming up. The next one will be Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to present you information on Indonesia Science Expo 2020. Listeners, the Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, is holding the Indonesia Science Expo on 19 and 20 November 2020 to ensure the development of science and technology. This year, the expo is held at the Indonesian Convention Exhibition Bumi Serpong Damai, South Tangerang. This expo has been an important means of introducing science and research result from Indonesia researchers and innovators to the public. The exhibition, which was first held in 2015, also aims to educate and build public awareness of the importance of science in their daily life. Minister of Research and Technology, Head of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Bambang P.S. Brojonegoro, said that the development of science is very dependent on the sustainability and regeneration of the researchers and innovators. Meanwhile, Head of LIPI Laksana Tri Handoko explained that the Indonesian Science Expo is an event to introduce science to all groups of the communities. Therefore, the content exhibited at the Expo 2020 features more science experiences. The expo event involves a scientific competition agenda to build teenagers' love for science and education. He also said that the understanding of the importance of science needs to be echoed to create a conducive ecosystem and culture of science and technology to form superior human resources who can support the vision of Indonesia forward. Carrying the tagline in fine IT science exploration, the event takes the theme of joy in exploring science. Indonesia Science Expo 2020 displays science in various activities such as exhibition of research results from various research institutions, universities to industry. Science movie, science show and talk show, international seminars and conferences, business meetings, as well as various scientific competition activities for the young generation, including the LIPI Young Scientist Award, Youth Scientific World Competition, and the National Young Inventors Award. In addition, this year, the expo is also to hold science dating, which brings together researchers and inventors with companies or institutions that are willing to invest and help realize their work. That was Miss Lenny with the topic Indonesia Science Expo 2020. Thanks for listening.
rasaku sedang jatuh cinta. Karena rasanya ini berbeda. Oh, apakah ini memang cinta? Selalu berbeda saat menatapnya. Mengapa aku begini hilang berani dekat denganmu? Ingin ku memilikimu, tapi aku tak tahu bagaimana caranya. Tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa, sampai aku mampu ucap maukah denganku. Ku rasa ku sedang jatuh cinta, karena rasanya ini berbeda. Apakah ini memang cinta? Selalu berbeda saat beratapnya. Di sini aku berdiri menanti waktu yang tepat hingga akhirnya ku mampu katakan padamu. Oh, tolong katakan pada lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa. Mungkinkah dia tahu cinta yang ku mau? Oh, oh, tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa, sampai aku mampu ucap maukah denganku.
Listener, we still got one more song for you, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present a song by a legendary band in Indonesia, Gus Plus. Gus Plus is a band that was formed in 1969. The band, which was famous in the 1970s, is regarded as the pioneer of pop and rock and roll music in Indonesia. Many of the hits from Gus Plus have been rearranged by Indonesian musicians, such as the song Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu. The song included in Gus Plus' second album entitled Volume 2 was released in 1970, then recycled by Marshanda in 2004. The song Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu tells the story of someone who has extraordinary heartbreak, but he or she hopes the sad story was just a dream. Well, listener, here is the song Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu by Gus Plus. Enjoy the song.
Satu malam ku sedih, temanku nanti di sekitarku lihat diam, tiada seindah dunia. lebih berarti. Aku telah patah hati, walaupun ku berkata bukan, bukan itu. Penyesalanku makin dalam dan sedih. Telah kuserahkan semua milik dan hidupku. Aku tak mau menderita begini. Mudah-mudahan ini hanya mimpi, hanya mimpi.
Indonesia.
Almost an hour, we from Voice of Indonesia accompanying you in this English program. You have listened to so many information and also good music from our country. Please do not hesitate to tell us what you think. Send it to our email voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, then, listeners, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.